Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Good Tuesday morning. There have been plenty of good Sundays for both Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. Key, why are you jealous?
Because them dudes got sick quarterbacks.
Those receivers.
It makes no sense, though, when you're a receiver that got skills and you stuck with them. Stuck with them, though. You have no choice but to play with Aaron Rodgers and have no choice
what a terrible
but to play
fate.
With Patrick Mahomes. There's no other choice for you, right? I mean, if you are Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins, your contract is with the Kansas City Chiefs. You have no other option. And if you're Devontae Adams and Lazar, you have no option but Aaron Rodgers. I'm jealous.
Zubin, two things that made me laugh this morning. That being number one. And number two, every time Key hears about Stephen Curry's extension of $150 million over 3 years, he goes, $150 million over 3 years?
Yet to agree, by the way.
It's just ridiculous, though. But I understand the money. I get it, but it's just crazy, though. Because dudes like that deserve it. They just, the value of the franchise, they kick up to the next level. I mean, one of the reasons that they was able to get the new arena in San Francisco because of guys like that
exactly.
winning championships. And so when people, you know, frown up at the money that the athletes made, you got to look into more things than that.
Wait, I thought the NBA was struggling. Oh, we're still giving away, you know.
They got it to give away. Speaking of giving things away, there's a little note to myself because today is Taco Tuesday for
it
me.
Is.
And I was just trying to think what I'm going to do. What?
Here it. Go ahead.
No, I'm just trying to decide if I'm going to cook at home or go and get tacos somewhere. I don't know. Depends on how I feel once I get home. And then I was asking Jay about what he wanted to do. And then he said he didn't know. And so I figured, you know, he got a little Seinfeld going. He's got some Beatles in his life, some pumpkin pie. And on a Taco Tuesday, he's an Ortega shell guy. Ortega shells and Ortega salsa.
Why are you
salsa.
Putting out false narratives about me? What?
No. You.
What's Ortega shells? I don't even know what that is.
Google it.
No, tell me what it is.
It's the hard shells that come in the pack that you already buy that's already pre-fried and everything. And you just put everything in it, the ones that you got at home.
No, I don't have those at home. Stop saying that.
All right. I'm just saying I sense that. I don't sense that he's a Guerrero guy.
I'm not a good cooker.
Fry it.
I don't know how to cook.
All right, that's why you buy the Ortega shells.
Stop. No, I do not.
It's all good.
No, man. You're not going to do this to me on national TV
all
and radio.
Good,
no
man.
More.
Ortega, what are you doing on Taco Tuesday?
I would normally go some sort of carne asada.
Yeah. You're going to get, you know, but you want hard shells or soft shells?
Oh, definitely hard shell.
Okay.
Definitely hard
but
shell.
But not Ortega.
Well, no. Ortega, go to aisle 7, pick it up. $1.99, whatever it is.
See, I got to get you. Pandemic has to hurry up and
first
end
off,
so I get you to the crib, man. We cannot have you
Key.
Eating pre-made shells.
Key, you got to stop being
it.
These 1970-year-olds.
No,
like you can listen to the Beatles and listen to Little Baby. You can watch Seinfeld and Martin. You can do it all. You can do it all. Welcome to 2020.
I don't know very many people on our show or in back. Behind the scenes that are messing around with the Ortega pre-made shells in aisle 7.
I don't even know what that is.
Google it. Fine. It's fine.
And as Seinfeld would say, yada, yada, yada. So let's discuss this. So you talked about it. Is it Mahomes? Is it Aaron Rodgers? We know that those are the two front runners. And we want to ask you right now, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, KeyJNZ on Twitter. If that's easier for you, you're moving around, you're working, whatever. Who's the MVP, Mahomes or Rodgers? Want to get some tweets in here. Right now, I want to tell you that 52% are going with, by a slight majority, Patrick Mahomes. That's just a slight majority.
All right.
Here are some of the tweets. At Sigmund Freud, don't overthink this, at Sigmund Freud. At all this surrounding cast talk is absurd. Who would you draft first for one reason? What does it say? Who
you're reading it. Right.
Hey, what?
Sorry, wait, Freud. What? You overthought it. You're done. You can work on the ego and the id. We're done with you, bro. All right. This one we like, okay? Don Shipe DPT. This is good. You misspelled Josh Allen. Winky face emoji. In other words, should we add a third guy to this list? Should it be Mahomes, Rodgers, and Josh Allen?
No, Josh Allen is cool, but no. I mean, these dudes they're off on an island by themselves right now. You know, Russell Wilson was on the island. The boat came to pick him up. He's back in Seattle now. These two dudes are on the island by themselves right now. I mean, that's just – Josh Allen is cool. He's waiting in line to see if they can get a reduced fare to get on the island. But it doesn't look like he's going to be getting on the island with 4 weeks to go.
I do feel that the Bills probably have the best chance with the way that they play to beat the Chiefs in the AFC, but I do not agree that Josh Allen belongs in that conversation. He does not. I agree with Key on this one. It is just a two-headed monster right now between Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers.
Tom Zwiller. Tom Zwiller hit us up. The way I see it is that when Mahomes missed action last year, Moore, speaking of Matt Moore, took the team to 2-1 in a three-game span.
Okay.
When Rodgers got injured, his coach was fired because of the terrible season. Rodgers does the same with less, making him more valuable.
I got to go now. Now, you getting ready to tell me Matt Moore could take the Kansas City Chiefs and win the Super Bowl. I guess that's the next one, right?
When you return, bring some Ortega shells for us.
Like, come on, man. Seriously. Like, think of it. No, that doesn't even make any sense. Okay, Matt Moore played a couple games. They went 2-1. Woo! Andy Reid. So you're going to compare Andy Reid to Mike McCarthy now? Like,
Tim in Nebraska. Weigh in, man. Tim in Nebraska's on ESPN Radio. Who's the NFL MVP?
It's Patrick Mahomes. He can do things that Aaron Rodgers cannot. Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback, but Patrick Mahomes is the icing on the cake. He can throw with his other hand. He designs plays and has Andy Reid put them in the offense that are specially designed for him. He has more weapons, but if you switched him on teams, Green Bay would be the Super Bowl favorite right now, guaranteed. Thanks, guys.
That's a good one. The last part of that, if you switch him on teams, I think if you switched them, it would be the same to me. It wouldn't even be a difference. It literally would be the same.
I want to give a mea culpa to Sigmund Freud, who has now weighed in once again. Let's see if we can do it right. All this surrounding cast talk is absurd. Who would you draft first for a one-season restart? Mahomes, no question. He's simply more valuable than anybody else, and it's not his fault the Chiefs don't use draft capital on backup quarterbacks and third-string running backs.
Okay, so what? Look, man. Patrick Mahomes, there is an argument to be made for both. It's 6 in one hand, half a dozen in the other. Same thing. You think if they're both on the board that Andy Reid and Matt LaFleur is going to complain if one of them come off the board and the other is left?
Who would you take first if they're both on the board right now?
And that's exactly what Freud is asking.
Based on age?
Yes, Patrick Mahomes.
No, but I'm asking you based on age or right just now. In general?
Right now.
It doesn't matter to me. I'm not looking at the long term. Long term, he's younger. He's younger. But in terms of just both of them being crazy QBing,
I love
they're crazy QBing. Now, if you tell me if they both came out of the draft at the same age and yada, 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 that's something different. But if you're saying right now, he's younger. So you're going to take Patrick Mahomes younger.
So give me both scenarios. Right now, who would you take? Answer me both those questions. Right now, who would you take?
Based on what, though, Jay?
Based upon what you want. Who you want, Key. Who you
if
think.
If it's age factor into it.
No. Just right now, who do you want? Right now. Pick one.
Man, I can't.
Come on.
I'm not because I'm happy with both.
All right,
I just told you at the top of the show that I would have given my right, left. I gave all my limbs to play with one of them dudes.
I thought you were going a different direction there. Okay.
No, I would have given everything to play with one of them dudes.
I know you like both. I'm just saying, pick one. Stop deflecting.
I cannot pick one. Because
I'm picking Patrick Mahomes. Fine. If they both come out and they're the same age and you're a GM, who do you take first?
I'm probably, considering that I've seen more of Aaron Rodgers at Cal, I'm probably going to take Aaron Rodgers.
George in New York, you get the last word this morning, but again, you can always weigh in on Twitter at KeyJNZ. The last caller for the moment, George in New York, who's the MVP?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm loving the show in the morning, listening to you guys on my way to work every day.
What's up, G?
Thank you, man. Get all your homeboys to listen, too.
1,000,000,000%, I'm taking Aaron Rodgers. If you take Patrick Mahomes off the Chiefs and you stick in quarterback X, I think they have a way better shot than if you take Aaron Rodgers off the Packers. They have nobody, nothing. They're nowhere.
So wait, if you put Patrick Mahomes on the Packers, you don't think the Packers are just as good?
It's a tough call. I mean, it depends. You know, they're not the same quarterback.
Yeah, I think they would. If you flop them, I understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
Because of the Kelce effect in Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid and some of the other pieces that they have, if you put another quarterback in Kansas City, you may win some games and you may still win the division. Doesn't mean that you're going to win it at 15-1,
sure,
but you may win the division. We saw what Green Bay looked like without Aaron Rodgers multiple times in Aaron Rodgers' career, whether it was Brett Hundley or whether it was what was the guy that they traded from Cleveland?
DeShone Kizer.
DeShone Kizer. Any of those type of weird-looking QBing, whether it was what was the guy who left and went to Philly or went to Seattle and got all the money?
Matt Flynn.
Any of that stuff, we saw what that looks like.
Yeah.
We haven't really seen a large sample size other than Alex Smith at the helm with Andy Reid in Kansas City. Other than that, and they still was an okay team.
Oh, for
sure. So I kind of understand what he's saying, but either one on the board, whoever comes off, if I'm sitting at number two, I'm as happy as pie.
Controversy rages on again, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, or Key J&Z on Twitter. Matt Flynn, one good game, got paid, and then he had a training camp battle with some guy named Russell Wilson, and that was the last of Matt Flynn.
I haven't seen Matt Flynn
since. He got his money, though, right?
He got his money, for sure. And Seattle made the right choice.
Pete Carroll was much like you said in terms of Doug Peterson. Pete was like, I like Russell Wilson.
There's no doubt about it. Russell Wilson, of course, had one spectacular year in the Big Ten. And speaking of the Big Ten, there's a lot of people that believe that last comment, and there's a lot of people that are not happy about that last comment. Paul Feinbaum, the voice of college football, is brought to you by Dr. Pepper. The college football season is heating up, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper. Today, Paul, good morning. We got the word yesterday. Michigan back on the field in a limited capacity. Ryan Day back on the field coaching Ohio State. Still no guarantee the game is going to go off Saturday in Columbus. Of course, the Buckeyes need that to get to that magic number of 6 to qualify for the Big Ten title game. Let's say it just isn't played. Let's say there has to be some sort of determination made on Ohio State. What in the world do you think the Big Ten is going to do?
Well, if they have enough time, Zubin, I still think they can mix and match. Remember, they have that extra weekend on the 19th where they're playing the 2-2, 3-3. It sounds like back in third grade here at recess. And I think they can pull it off. I was really impressed with Ohio State Saturday. I realized they weren't playing one of the best teams in the country, but they looked good. And I'm curious what this committee is going to do tonight. It's not the final decision, but I think they'll still be within the top four, and I think they should be.
No one lost this weekend in the top six, for top 12 for that matter. What changes do you anticipate, if any at all, Paul, with the college football committee?
Yeah, I think just for fun, it's going to be interesting to see what this committee does with Coastal Carolina. I thought they've done enough to be inside the top 10. They won't be particularly high and be a factor within the playoffs. I'm curious about Texas A&M. This is a school that doesn't have a clear path in. If Florida wins out, meaning beat LSU and beat Alabama, they're going to be in the playoffs as the SEC champion. We've had the Notre Dame-Clemson conversation, but A&M is sitting there within the top six. And they lost the game Saturday. Their game this Saturday at Kyle Field against Ole Miss has been scrubbed. So, they've got real problems. They have one more game after that, and I think their path has become very narrow, Key.
Could two teams wind up in it from the SEC?
Yeah, here's the scenario for that. I think the best-case scenario, maybe the most unlikely, is that Florida upsets Alabama. Right now, Alabama looks unbeatable. But if Florida upsets Alabama, there's no way you can move Alabama out. I mean, they have been the most dominant team. If you got Alabama winning, Notre Dame winning, and somehow Ohio State going off the board by not playing a game or two, then Texas A&M could possibly sneak in. And don't forget, Cincinnati sitting there, still a legitimate team. They didn't play last weekend either. There's not many teams remaining for the final spot, because the ACC and the SEC both have a shot at getting two in.
Paul, so Mac Jones and Kyle Trask have been putting up video game-like numbers. Both are in top five in yards and touchdowns in the country with a national title contending teams. Who would you give the edge to in the Heisman Trophy race?
Jay, I just can't make up my mind. I mean, it's so close. I'm saying what Key just said about Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. Guys, I don't mean to deflect the question, but thank goodness Key is on this program in the morning. Thank goodness he's not sitting there on a nuclear submarine trying to decide whether to fire the missile that will save the world or end the world. I have never heard more deflecting over an easy question in my life. Back to your question right now, Jay, I think the winner of the Alabama-Florida game is going to probably get the Heisman Trophy. But can I think about that? Can I genuflect? Can I call a mystery line? Can I call Mina Kynes to bail me out? Guys, I'm sorry. This is supposed to be entertainment here. I have emptied my Excedrin bottle after listening to that diatribe.
Look, Paul, now who would you pick? Now, since you want to be a smarty pants, who would you pick?
You know,
out
Paul,
of the
he can kill Kyler Murray in the air raid system, but he can't pick the MVP. You know, I don't know what to tell you.
I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I've seen too much, and so have you, Key. Come on.
Well, no, look, man, both of them right now are really, really.
Oh, hey, no, please, Zubin, stop him. The nation can't go through this again.
Hey, Paul, let me ask you the same question I asked Keyshawn. If they were both coming out at the same time as a prospect, who would you take?
I'd probably go Aaron Rodgers, but that's just to be different. Because I, you know what? I don't really care. After Key gave that 14 and a half minute answer, I never want to see either Aaron or Patrick again.
Let me ask you this though, Paul, back to college football for a minute. How come, given the fact that the with the pandemic, everything's being moved around, pushed around, games are being canceled, postponed, brought back to play, the Final Four, December 20th, will be announced. How come they can't wait for the entire college football landscape to be over for everybody to conclude their games before they select the Final Four?
Well, this year, remember, the season was supposed to end on the 5th. There was going to be time, and then all this chaos started happening with games being canceled and games being postponed. So what they've simply done is, you know, the championship Saturday is on the 19th, and that was originally why they decided to announce it on the 20th. Another reason is this. The national semifinals are on January 1st, so you really can't go any deeper. So there are no more games scheduled after the 19th or bowl games starting almost immediately. So the committee always decides on the Sunday after the championship Saturday.
Last one for you here, Paul. You sort of mentioned Coastal Carolina and the job the Chanticleers have done under Coach Chadwell and quarterback Grayson McCall. I think that was probably the most thrilling college football game of the season. I certainly know Penn State-Indiana had an absurd ending, but it's great to see two teams from the non-Power 5 play a game like this with the College Game Day treatment. What is the residual effect? You kind of mentioned Coastal will rising, but what's the residual effect of that win that Coastal had over BYU that took the game in the middle of the week?
Yeah, I think it shows that the antediluvian attitude toward college football has to change. And Zubin, what I mean by that is, you know, Alabama will announce one day, we're playing Nebraska in 2054. I mean, these schedules don't need to be done 30 years in advance. I mean, that game was done on the fly. It was the best game of the year in college football. And I just wish that, you know, we could be more flexible. I mean, you could find games the next 2 weeks that might fit the bill, but I realize it's chaos and I realize that we're in the year of COVID, but athletic directors need to be more flexible in the future about scheduling as opposed to all these way down yonder games that don't make any sense.
It's a great call. Tom Holmoe, the athletic director at BYU, former head coach at Cal, said, absolutely, we'll step up and do it. And for all these group of five teams that say they want attention, they want better television coverage, they want more exposure, the best way to do it is to do what BYU did. Agree to it, go for it, and it all pays off. It was
a thrilling
game. I don't
know, Zubin, still thinking about it. I'm teetering. Paul, I'm not sure.
Don't listen to Jay Will.
What exactly I want to do, right, Paul? I'm still confused. I'm baffled.
Hey, Key, lunch is coming in about 4 hours. You better start making up your mind now.
It won't be Ortega Shells, that's for sure.
Come on!
I thought we were over the filibuster. I thought November 3rd had come and passed, but apparently not. Paul, have a great show today, man. Great to catch up with you.
All right, Paul.
All right.
Thank you, guys. See you, guys.
There's a reason we call him our favorite, bro. There's a reason we call him our favorite.
I almost asked him, Bear Bryant or Nick Saban.
Oh, no.
Wallace Wade. We'll go in the middle. We'll go Gene Stallings. We'll go right? Split the difference right down the middle. Paul, of course, the host of the Paul Feinbaum Show every weekday afternoon, 3 Eastern on the SEC Network and on the ESPN app. Latest ranking show tonight, by the way, fellas, at 7 p.m. Eastern time. We'll see where Ohio State fits in the entire scenario. We'll see where Coastal Carolina fits as well. Again, New Year's Day, Paul mentioned, for the college football playoff semifinals. And then the championship game in Miami on Monday, January 11th. Every single game, all three of the semifinals and the championship can be heard on ESPN Radio. On the way, Jay Will thinks James Harden and his actions right now are a slap in the face to the Houston Rockets. He lays out his logic after he has this from Pennzoil.
Not all motor oils are created the same. Motor oil made from crude oil contains impurities. Bet you didn't know that. But Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. That's right. Its base oil is 99.5% free from impurities. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. So the next time you get an oil change, you better ask for Pennzoil. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear tests using SAE 5W-30. Available at AutoZone and AutoZone.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I mean, if
I don't mean to laugh,
doesn't...
but I mean, that answer tells you everything you need to know right there. When your head coach says, I don't know.
Yeah. My star player, is he in the city in which we play and will open the season on December 23rd against the Thunder? Is he in our city right now? What are you asking me that for?
Well, I tell you,
how would I know?
You could check his Instagram page, because that just shows a picture of him in Las Vegas at little baby's birthday party, kicking it.
I know this is obviously, you said check the Instagram, but how do we know it's Vegas and not Houston? Because they said it was Vegas. Is that?
I mean, look, well, the reports of him being in Vegas that weekend, hanging out, kicking it at certain establishments, you know, making it rain, having fun.
Doing what James
is doing. Doing what James
being
is doing
grown.
As a single man, kicking it.
Yeah,
but obviously, when, think about the dichotomy of this. Russell Westbrook gets traded for John Wall. Russ then goes to Washington, D.C., you hear reports Russell Westbrook showing up 2 hours before training camp even starts to get in work to set the tone, mentality-wise. Then come back to Houston, considering a weekend, little baby's birthday party, $100,000 in cash, you know, a Rashard meal watch, right, worth $200,000+. He's gifting little baby, doing his thing, right? And then other reports of him being out during the weekend, and then John Wall being there like, yo, what's up? We rocking out. And James not showing up to the first day of training camp. That tells you everything you need to know about how James Harden feels about this situation. That Tim Fertitta and company did not go to him to talk to him about, hey, by the way, we're going to let go of the coach, and we're also going to let go of Daryl Morey, the guy that got you here, and now he's going to Philadelphia, the 76ers.
And the reason that they should go to him is because he's a superstar. And
yeah, Rob right? Pelinka, Jenny Buss, I'm sure as hell they sat down with LeBron James and talked through how are we going to make these changes when we let go of Magic. KD, Kyrie, I'm sure as hell Sean Marks, the GM, Josiah, the owner, sat down with them and said, hey, who are you thinking about? Do you like Steve Nash? How do you feel about Steve Nash? But James Harden doesn't garner the same respect. I think that was the first huge mistake right
now,
out of the gate.
Typically, though, when you are whatever, superstar, star player, whatever, the coaches respect you, the front office respects you, in all sports they typically come to you and just have a conversation with you, even though that conversation may, you know, take place after they've made a decision on what they want to do, they at least address it with you so that you're not out there in the universe trying to figure it out. Now, whether, you know, I've always said when players start to, in all sports for that matter, start to say that they don't want to be somewhere and they're not, and you can just look at the history of it. I don't care if it's Kawhi or AD or players in the NFL. When there's an issue that comes up with a player not wanting to be a part of something, you typically move that guy because you don't want, and I said this when we first started this conversation weeks and weeks ago, you typically don't want that individual in the locker room, and not because he's going to try to drive a wedge between the team and ownership or the players and the coaches.
Be a cancer type.
Yeah, and that, but they use the word cancer just because that's a good term in terms of the media, but just because he doesn't want to be involved in your direction in which you want to go in with the team. So the best thing to do is probably move that individual, especially if you got a Steven Silas who is a first-time young head coach. You don't want to set him up to have to babysit and deal with somebody frowning when they walk through the building every single day. You don't want to deal with that. If someone's not happy in a workplace, you need to try to figure out how to fix it. And the best way, it seems to me, is to move on from James Harden and allow him to go to a team, whether it's the 76ers, whether it's the Brooklyn Nets, or wherever he desires, and you get whatever you could get in return. That's what I would do if I was the general manager of the team.
Well, that's the question. How much will you get in return? And if this behavior continues to move forward, now, I don't think James Harden will be the guy that will just won't show up, right? Like, his contract can't start until he actually starts to play, right? Which is different than NFL, right? You can hold out to a degree.
It depends.
But because I've always known James, when I heard from teammates of his, that he's been very upfront and direct about him. But the longer this behavior happens, I think he loses a little bit of the value, because if you're an opposing team, you're sitting there saying,
well, he doesn't want to be value, there.
Rockets would lose their value. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I meant to say. Thank you for cleaning that up. It would come to a point where your other team saying, well, he doesn't want to be there anyway.
Well, that happens in all sports. When once they sniff out that there's an issue, they'll offer you whatever to get that particular player when they know that player wants to exit the building. I look at it and say, of course, James Harden is going to show up at some point in time. But when he shows up, it's like anything in life. Do you want to come home every single day and watch your wife frowning for no reason? Like, you got to try to work it out. Or do you want to have issues in a workplace where every time you walk through a building, your boss is saying something slick behind your back? You don't want that. You just, and that same thing for James Harden. Doesn't want to walk into the arena in Houston and have a first-time head coach in Silas. He's now got to walk on eggshells, how he deals with it very delicately. Got to make sure he doesn't upset him. Got to make sure. You don't want to have to deal with that. That's too much stress to take on every single day. When I got to now manage 10, 11 other guys.
Well, and think about what Silas just said. I'm sorry, Zubin. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I want to ask you something.
Where's your star player? I don't know. You know how embarrassing that is for a first-year head coach to actually come out and say, I don't know where my star player is?
Do you really honestly think that he didn't know, or he just – because I think he knew and he just was playing coach media. I don't know.
Playing coy.
Yeah,
maybe,
playing coy.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
Like you said, though, Insta tells everything, right? I mean, and other players on the team is like, yo, Jay, you seen Zubin? Oh, man, I just saw him. He was walking in New York to get something to eat.
That's why I said it's a slap in the face, though. Even if he didn't know, yo, I ain't coming the first day of training camp. I've seen every other superstar show up the first day of training camp. That's what I'm saying. Even if he did know, that's still a slap in the face.
I got a couple questions for you. First of all, James Harden under team control for at least the next 2 years. Again, he can wedge his way out, force his way out. But right now, the Rockets do have the hammer. At that particular moment, he is under team control for the next 2 years. Two questions for you. The Rockets preseason begins in 3 days. Preseason. A game that doesn't count, but it's a game. Your teammates. Should he be there for that?
Yes.
Will he be there for that?
I would like to think so, knowing the character of James Harden. I would like to think so, but I don't know his state of mind right now. I don't know how he views this. All I have to see are his actions of not being there on Sunday. Now, if he shows up today, I don't know if reports say he showed up today or yesterday, but I honestly don't know, Zubin.
Think about that.
Which is your star player.
December 23rd, they open the regular season at home against his old team, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Where will he be? What uniform will James Harden be wearing on December 23rd?
He would like to be in a different uniform other than the Houston Rockets.
That ain't what he asked, you know.
I don't
like
know.
You did me with
I don't know how Raphael Stone and company are going to handle this. And what is your tolerance for chaos? Right? If he continues to push the chaos line with not showing up to a degree, how long can you handle that as an organization? I don't know what their threshold is.
Man, here's what I would say. Show up and chill. Show up and chill. They know they have to move you. It's almost like the Anthony Davis situation prior to leaving New Orleans. That's all, folks. I mean, in
the T-shirt. Get me out of here.
Get me out of here. And so show up and they'll probably start to seriously move you.
I just don't see James Harden doing his teammates dirty, right? Like, he's never struck me as that guy. He's a ride or die guy. Even with the way things went down with Brody, they always seemed like they were somewhat communicating on the same page, right? Even though Russ left, I think that's going to be the same way with John Wall, Boogie Cousins and company, those guys he still rocks with. I just don't think you have a guy as bought in as James Harden would be to be bought in to actually lead a franchise.
We'll see. James Harden's looking for a fresh team this season, clearly. A fresh look brought to you by Sport Clips. And do they do beards at Sport Clips? We have to find out. Cut the wait and check in online at Sport Clips Haircuts. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests, including the legendary Cowboys quarterback, Roger Staubach, join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. The Navy veteran and the NFL veteran will join us at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. We want to hear from you. Who's the NFL MVP, Mahomes or Rodgers? Maybe that's something for Staubach. He played the quarterback position pretty well, as I recall. So maybe we'll have Raj weigh in on that at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. On the way, we got five teams in the NFL that right now sit at 8 wins. How many of those five are real? And how many of them aren't? The fellas with the answer when Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin returns.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
That's a do-rag, and we are about to do something with the 5 8-win teams in the NFL. Here's the deal. The Titans, Dolphins, Colts, Rams, and Seahawks all sit at 8 dubs. But how many of them are real or not real? I mean, okay. Obviously everybody with a chance to get the double-digit wins in this group.
8 dubs. He threw that out there.
8 dubs. Yeah. I told you, the street cred. With or without the do-rag, bro.
I'm listening, though. I'm every now and then you drop one in.
Real or not real, meaning real they can win the Super Bowl or – They're a contender.
Let's make up the parameters right now. Key, where do you want to go? Real or not real? What are we qualifying real or not real as?
AFC, NFC championship game.
Okay, getting to the championship game, a strong contender to go deep into the playoffs.
To scare Kansas City and scare the Green Bays of the world and the Saints of the world.
Okay, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including Chris Long. That's going to be some fun.
Oh, yeah.
9:10 a.m. Eastern. Former NFL player doing a great job in the media, just like the fellas I'm with today. So here we go. Real or not real to make a deep run in the AFC playoffs or the NFC playoffs? Let's begin, Key, Jay, with the Tennessee Titans at 8 wins. Real or not real?
Not real for me. I like Derrick Henry, and I like what Tannehill and A.J. Brown and Davis has been able to do offensively. Their defense is just so suspect that I think you could do some great things against them. From an offensive standpoint, an offensive output, they give up the yams a lot. So they're not real to me.
Yeah, the defense really let me down in that game against the Browns, even though I think they played exceptionally well in the game against the Colts. Derrick Henry is King Henry. It doesn't feel the same as it did last year a little bit with them catching lightning in a bottle.
This is the most, in my opinion, the most surprising 8-4 team, the Miami Dolphins.
They're not real. I think they're a couple years early for whatever reason. I just think that Brian Flores has certainly done a tremendous job since taking over as a head coach. We all thought that they were tanking, but they wind up not necessarily tanking and getting themselves in a position to take Tua at the fifth pick in the draft. But when you look at them, they're just a step too early right now in terms of where they're going to be a couple years from now and in terms of building the roster, building the team. I think Greer, the general manager, has done a tremendous job in terms of the salary cap. When he took that thing over, it was a mess. And so he's gotten himself in a position where he's got some money to play with some players. He's got some draft picks. And they've also done a good job at acquiring guys and understanding what that fit needs to be for them. But they're not real as of today.
Not real today. Tomorrow, though, will be a different story. I think Brian Flores in the Coach of the Year conversation, I wouldn't have him at the top, but he's close to it. And I think they're a year away from being a year away.
And something that's notable. It makes total sense.
It
makes total sense.
I just laugh. It's a year away from a year away. That's fine.
And we should mention, and this is something important that shouldn't be overlooked. Key mentioned Chris Greer. He's the GM of the Miami Dolphins. It's the only African-American general manager head coaching combination in the league. And if you want to increase, if you want to increase and diversify your ranks, someone's got to succeed. Some owner has to look at it and say, oh, wow, that's working over there at the coaching position and the front office position. The best thing they can do is continue to win.
All you need is an opportunity and a chance in the NFL. Hopefully at some point in time in their years to come, they'll open up the door to realize there's people out there that can actually do the job.
I'm really holding my tongue right now. Let's move forward.
Right. In the room, as Key likes to say, here's another team that people were kind of like wishy-washy on because he didn't know how the quarterback was going to fit. The Colts are 8-4. Real or not real?
Not real again. They are wishy-washy because I don't know who we're going to get from week to week. Are we going to get Phillip Rivers? Or are we going to get Jacoby Brissett? Like what's going on here? Like what type of team are we going to see? The defense is certainly a solid group, but I just don't know about the quarterback because the quarterback can turn the ball over with the best of them.
I just watched Deshaun Watson march all the way down the field. If it wasn't for a bad snap and they fumble the ball and the Colts recover, I think the Colts lose two in a row. I don't think the Colts are real this year. I think they're having a good season, but I don't think they're next level real.
Those are the three teams that have 8 wins in the AFC. Let's switch to the NFC. Let's go to one division. That's where the 8-win teams are. Let's start, Key, real or not real, with your Los Angeles Rams.
I think they are real. In full transparency here, I am not a Rams fan. So just because I'm from LA, I'm not
LA
a Rams. I'm a Raider guy. But I think that this team is a really, really good football team. I think that the offense goes as much as Jared Goff. If Jared Goff doesn't turn the football over, this team has an opportunity to win the Super Bowl because they have dynamic playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. And then we all know what their defense is. We saw the defense last week against Kyler Murray in that, whatever you want to call it, of an air raid, take care of business against them and Aaron Donald and Brockers and Jalen Ramsey. So they are a real team that could compete with the New Orleans Saints, a team that they've beaten before multiple times, as well as the Green Bay Packers.
Man, I'm really glad your team had the Jets on their schedule. Bounce back after that one. I got the Rams as real. Rams are going to be real. I've been saying it the whole year. Jared Goff, he could be next level Jared Goff. They could win a Super Bowl. If he can't, they can be knocked out early.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Our fifth and final team with 8 wins, off to the best start in franchise history. Then they've hit the skids just a little bit, and that would be the Seattle Seahawks. Real or not real?
Seattle makes you scratch their head a little bit because after watching them take care of
their
business,
head or your head?
Everyone's head. they go out and they lose to the New York Giants with a backup quarterback in Colt McCoy. I mean, like, no one would have ever bet on that to happen. Russell Wilson didn't play great. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett didn't show up like they did against the Philadelphia Eagles or even like they showed up against the Arizona Cardinals. So this team is a real team. They just got to stop playing games, right? Pete Carroll, here and there, they will give you a stinker and make you go, Pete, man, what the hell are you doing? Like, it's one of those situations. Been knowing Pete for a long time. He did it at SC, and he's done it in Seattle, head scratchers from time to time.
I would say they're real just because of Russell Wilson and those pieces that they have. Key, like, you know, having Tyler Lockett, having DK Metcalf. Granted, their defense needs to be more consistent, but still having Russell Wilson, he can put up monstrous games.
And I like their defense. I like the fact that they've inserted Jamal Adams and Dunlop into the lineup, and Bobby Wagner's playing like Bobby Wagner of old and the future Hall of Famer. So when you start to look at all those things, Seattle is just a team that they got to stop playing games, which means, Zubin, play the way you play consistently. Stop giving me teasers. Stop giving me the Philly game and the Arizona game and then giving me a Giants game or a Buffalo game. Don't do that to me.
Fair enough, because if you take a look at the 5 teams that we mentioned with 8 wins, the one thing the Seahawks have is they clearly have the best quarterback, whether it's Tannehill, Tua, Phillip Rivers, Jared Goff obviously ascending, but Russell Wilson is Russell Wilson, mm-hmm. So you would give them the benefit of the doubt in that particular stead. On the way, off their first loss of the season, do the Steelers have a real chance to beat the Chiefs when it matters the most? We'll talk about that at the top of the hour.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.